Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Bulky Boo podcast. And today is sort of going to be a double whammy. We are going to be doing a Spurs review and a Sheffield United preview. So, first things first, we played Spurs two days ago now. We played Thursday night. Yesterday, couldn't do it. I was busy. And I thought, all right, I'll do it with the Sheffield preview anyway. So, it was a great game. It was nervy towards the end. The rivalry is always there. And ultimately, we came out on top. So, I'm going to be going over the lineup, giving player ratings as I go, and then going over my play predictor results. So, we had Edouard Mendy in goal. He had two shots to save. He saved them. That's all I can really say. His distribution was decent. He was calm on the ball. Seven. He did what he needed to do. Now, Thiago Silva. He came off in the 36th minute. He was injured. He did, like, a ball was coming over the top. He did some sort of, not, it weren't a bicycle kick, but he sort of jumped in the motion of a bicycle kick and, like, kicked the ball away. But as he landed, he hurt his thigh. Now, Chelsea uploaded a video on YouTube and he was training, so it looked like it was only precautionary, but he came off nonetheless in the 36th minute. But for when he was on, he was immense, as normal. Thiago Silva is, well, he's been insanely sick this season. And if it weren't for Aspi being in and around the squad, I'd say he's been our best defender since John Terry. And so I think him and Aspi are on the same level in terms of best defender since John Terry. But the fact that Thiago Silva's come in, and within what? When did he come in? September? It was September. So September, October, November, December, January, and it's now early February. So it's, say, 6 months. He is seemingly completely transformed our back four, our defence. And it's not just going to end with him. Like, he's, from the looks of things, he's nurturing and teaching players like Zuma, Rudiger, and other players that are in and around the squad, like, who can then pass that information on themselves. So Thiago Silva was a phenomenal acquisition, in my opinion. But if I'm going on a player rating for what he played, an 8. Hands down, an 8. And that leads us on to the captain himself, Cesar Azpilicueta. He nearly set up Werner in the first, like, 30 seconds, if that. I think 10 seconds. Literally, he went to him, long ball, and Werner was nearly on the end of it. And yeah, he did what he needed to do. Didn't get overrun. Kept Son quiet when Son was on that side and did what he had to do. So, for Dave, a 7 as well. Rudiger, again, did what he had to do. Kept a clean sheet. 7. I'm not going to give the back four anything less than a 7. In fact, I don't think I'm giving anyone less than a 7 today. Reece James, again, was brilliant. And yeah, I mean, the link-up play between Reece, Callum and Mason, you can see they've worked together, not just in the first team, but at Cobham, like, in the academy as well. And I'm gonna hold giving him an 8 because there were players that were better than him, but he didn't have a poor performance. Marcus Alonso, again, 7. Did what he had to do, didn't get really caught out. I think he got outpaced once, but by Bergwijn, which I'm Alonso's biggest critic, but it weren't through him being out of position. It's purely because he hasn't got the speed to keep up. And that's a nature thing. That's not his fault. So I'm going to be fair with Alonso here. And I'm going to give him a 7. The central midfield pairing of Kovacic and Jorginho. Jorginho scored the penalty that we got. He scored the winning goal, 1-0. He didn't do that stupid little hop that I hate. I fucking hate that hop. And he didn't do it. And he buried the penalty. And it was a fantastic penalty. But it weren't just that. His overall performance today. And Kovacic as well. Because they're both combined in this. Because they both playing forward. Retaining possession. Playing back only when they need to. Or sideways when they need to. They had Ndombele set on them, Højbjerg set on them, and they bossed that midfield. And that was the one thing I remember saying in the preview that I was worried about. I was worried that the power and the physical nature of Højbjerg and Ndombele, we needed the pressure of Mount and Kante. But no, they proved me wrong. And I'm happy to admit I was wrong. Both of them played phenomenal on Thursday. And I'm giving them both a 9, hands down. Like, both of them, 9 easily. It's not even close. Moving into Hudson-Odoi, it was the quietest game he's had under Tuchel. However, it wasn't a poor game. It was still a very, very good game from Hudson-Odoi. He looks like he's coming into his own. We thought we saw the best out of him when we had Sarri. But what Tuchel's done with Hudson-Odoi, my God, he looks like a different player. And the fact that, sorry, I just spotted Arsenal 1-0 down already against Aston Villa. Yeah, the fact that Hudson-Odoi he's turning heads again, and people are finally realising just how good he is and why we wanted to keep him. People thought we only wanted to keep him because to try and like get more money out of Bayern Munich. And then they thought we were stupid by putting him on a big contract. No, we put him on the big contract because he is a phenomenal player. And the potential he's got the potential to be world class. It's as simple as that. He can be world class. And on the current trajectory, and we've got to remember, he's only, what, 19, 20, if that? He's still a kid. And if Tuchel can nurture that out of him and make him the elite player we know what his potential can make him be, then we've got our wingers sorted for years. Pulisic's only 21, 22. Hudson-Odoi's 20, I think. You got Mount, Reece. Our squad, the spine of our squad could stay the same for years. And with a few little additions and sales here and there, we're golden. I'm giving Callum an 8. Super Mace, 10. End of. That's, I don't even need to comment on him. Actually, I do. Because he isn't getting goals, because he isn't getting the assists all the time, people overlook his contribution. I'm not one of them people. I see what he does on the ball, off the ball, for his teammates. He is a sublime player. And he's deserving of man of the match. He did get man of the match for me. And not just for me, but for the Chelsea Twitter ran a poll and he won it. And it's not what some people think, where he's young, he's English, he's Lampard reborn and all that shit. And that's why we're all got a quote favouritism on him. No, it's nothing to do with that. Mason Mount is a phenomenal player. And as I said, just because he doesn't get the goals or the assists all the time, people overlook his contribution. They think players like Foden are better. Can tell you hand on heart right now. And this isn't me even being biased, because I really do rate Phil Foden. Mason Mount is miles better than Foden already. And he's got a bigger ceiling than Foden, I think. And fair play to Tuchel for putting Mace in. And in 2 games in a row now. And I think it'll be 3 in a row. Because, spoiler alert, I've put him in my team against Sheffield. And yeah, I mean, it's, I don't get this issue with him that people have. If people see him on the team sheet and they go, oh, we're going to lose. They see him on the team sheet and they go, oh, why is he being picked? He's shit. He's not. I really don't understand this beef that people have with him. I really don't. Because if you actually sit there and watch him play, you'll see it. But people just have this blind hatred for him, and I don't get why. And it's like, according to some people, you need to be scoring 10 a game and assisting 10 a game to become even remotely good. Werner. This brings me perfectly onto Werner. He played brilliantly against Tottenham. Was making runs. He had chances. There was one big chance he had, and he took the shot. But fair play to Aurier. Aurier blocked him. Blocked the shot completely. And people are sitting there bitching at Werner for that. How are you going to bitch at Werner for that? When, I can't believe I'm saying this, in all fairness, Aurier did a brilliant piece of defending. You can't moan at Werner for that. People have agendas. We had the same with Morata. We had the same with Torres. We had the same with we've got the same with Kai, Mason, Timo, like. And you can't sit there and support them, because if you do, then you're this, that and the other. Or you get called this, that and the other. Why can't we just sit there and fucking support our players when they play? And back them. And if they make mistakes, don't sit there and abuse them. Actually, like, support them and tell them they can do it and keep going. Because they see everything we type. And Why do you think players like Kepa and like who else has done it? There's other multiple players in and around the Premier League, not just Chelsea, that have switched off comments. Or the only people that can comment are people that, like, they follow. Like, it's no coincidence. And why? Because they just constantly get abused, no matter what they do. Like, for example, like, I will give an example, right? For Kepa, this is. He could perform, say he comes in against Sheffield, right? And we have a scrappy 2-1 win, right? The goal is his fault. He makes a mistake, right? So we were 2-0 up, we're comfortable. He makes a mistake, it's 2-1. Sheffield growing confidence, right? This is all hypothetical, by the way. So Sheffield then come at us with an onslaught in the last 5 minutes, right? And Kepa makes save after save after save after save after save and makes 7 brilliant saves, just for argument's sake. People won't sit there and go, fucking hell, Kepa, what a performance. You kept us that win. They won't sit there and say that. They'll sit there and go, oh, another mistake, get him out of the club, blah, blah, blah. People only want to ever focus on the negatives. Like, it's stupid because, like, for example, me with Marcus Alonso, what he did or what happened against West Brom, I never wanted to see him in a Chelsea shirt again because he put himself before the club. However, when he played, or when he plays, I'll support him. And I hope he does well. Because ultimately, like against Burnley, he scored a phenomenal goal and he sealed the win for us. He does do good stuff. He's done a lot more mistakes than good, but that's besides the point. The point is, just because you may not like a player doesn't mean you can't support them when they play for your team. Doesn't mean you can't hope they do well. It doesn't make you a liar or two-faced. It makes you honest. Because if you could, or it makes you actually a better person, in my opinion. Because if you could sit there and go, I made a mistake, I was wrong, you grow as a person. So, again, using myself as an example, against Tottenham, I said that Jorginho and Kovacic as a midfield pairing wouldn't work. And it did work, massively. And I happily admitted I was wrong. Because in this instance, I was wrong. And if I'd have been right and it hadn't worked, I'd have sat there and questioned it, criticised it, wouldn't have abused it. But I'd have also been like, if they do play again, I'll support it. I didn't want Jorginho taking penalties again because of that little hop and the misses that he's had this season, and not just saved misses. But he took the penalty the other day. And as soon as he stepped up, I was like, right, I'm not happy with the fact you're taking it, but I hope you bury it. And he did. And as I said, admitting you're wrong doesn't make you weak. Oh, what a save, Martinez. That doesn't make you weak. It makes you real. It makes you human. So, in terms of Werner, going back to him, and this, and, like, I was wrong by saying he was going to get 25, 30 goals this season. Meaning, if he does, what a second half of the season. But at the end of the day, it's not as if he hasn't tried. And like with Mount, because he hasn't been getting the goals and assists, granted, yes, we brought him in to score goals, but because he hasn't been getting them, his performances go very unnoticed. Or he gets called a flop. People don't realise this season he's got more goals than Sadio Mane. But no one's calling Mane a flop. He's got more goals than Aubameyang. No one's calling Aubameyang a flop. Right. But because it's Chelsea, because he's a big money signing, people are quick to jump on him. And his performances are more than just goals. I worked it out in terms of minutes played. He gets a goal contribution every game and a half. So, like every 135 minutes. Ooh. A lucky Aston Villa. Yeah, it's a goal contribution every 135 minutes, which is a game and a half. So, he is helping the team. He is performing for the team. So, people need to get off his back and support him rather than batter him into the ground. So, in terms of that, I'm going to give him an 8 for the match against Spurs. That leads me into our subs. Christensen, when he came on, he was brilliant. Did what he had to do. And I'm going to give Christensen a 7. Pulisic, he had a couple of chances. I'm going to give him a 6. Didn't really light the world on fire. And same as Kante. Going to give him a 5 because he didn't really have much time on the pitch. Whereas Christensen, he had over a half. So, in terms of play predictor, before I move on to the Sheffield one, I predicted a 2-1 win. It was a 1-0 win. I predicted Werner in the 38th minute. It was Jorginho in the 24th. I predicted 14 shots with 5 on target. We had 16 shots, 2 on target. I predicted 63% possession. We had 58. And I predicted 6 corners and we had 7. We made 630 passes, and I think that puts us at like nearly 2,000, over 2,000 passes in 3 matches under Thomas Tuchel. And we've only conceded 2 shots on target in 3 matches, and in 2 of those matches, we didn't concede a single one. So, that is the Spurs review part of this podcast done. And now, it's on to the Sheffield United preview. Right. So, little bits of information about Sheffield. In the Premier League head-to-head, like the total head-to-head between Chelsea and Sheffield, we have played each other 9 times. There has been 4 wins each and 1 draw. The draw being the 2 all last season. They're currently sitting in 20th in the Premier League table. They've played 22, won 3, drawn 2, lost 17. Their 3 wins were 1-0 against Newcastle, 2-1 against Man United, and 2-1 against West Brom, and all 3 of their wins have come in their last 5 matches. So, I've written down my lineup, my play predictor stuff and all that, my predictions for play predictor, and literally, at the bottom of my page, I've got, let's actually beat them, rather than turning into Charity FC, which we've had the tendency to do for the last few seasons. and I've put watch out for David R9 McGoldrick, because when he plays us, it's inevitable that Prime R9 comes out. I think he scored 4 Premier League goals and 3 of them have been against us. Like, he's, you know the song Can We Play You Every Week? He literally sings that about us. But I think it's going to be one of those games where we do boss it. So going into my lineup, I've gone with a 3-4-2-1 formation. Mendy in goal. I think that's a given. I've gone with the same back three of Silva, Rudiger and Aspi. However, if Silva isn't fit, Zuma's playing for me. I think Zuma deserves his opportunity. Christensen had 64 minutes the other day. I think, or 54 minutes, sorry. Plus injury time. And didn't do anything wrong. But I think I'd like to see Zuma play as well. Unless Zuma's not fully recovered from the injury. Or a little minor knock he had. I mean, either way, if Silva's fit, he's playing, in my opinion. So, the 4 in midfield. So, as wing-backs, Chilwell one side, Callum Hudson-Odoi on the right. And Jorginho and Kovacic as the midfield pairing. Because with how brilliantly they played the other night, they made themselves undroppable for this game. Sheffield United, I think, are going to be sat back as well. So chances are we won't need Kante as much to sweep and retain the ball so much. And having the 3 centre-backs there as well gives us that protection if they do start countering. It gives us that little bit more protection for our players to get back and like gives them time, basically. So that's my midfield 4. And then I'm playing Werner up front. And as the 2 tens, right, they're not wingers I'm playing, they're 2 tens. I'm going with Mount and Havertz. I think that lineup's extremely strong. I think this is where Tuchel's got to do the balancing act between the amount of squad players, like the players we've got on our squad. Like, for example, Emerson. He's played well when he's come in this season. He hasn't had a sniff in. I've left out Ziyech. I've left out Pulisic, Kante. Like, there's a few players that haven't made it, but then that's, as I said, that's down to Tuchel. I haven't included Billy either. I think I was having this discussion with I think it was Ash from 1905, and I said in these next couple of games, so I think we got Sheffield and we got Newcastle and then we got the FA Cup match. I think this could be a time where we see Tuchel try different formations to see if we can do it. Maybe a 4-2-3-1, 4-4-2 diamond. Because if we go to 4-4-2 diamond, we've got to play Reece and Chilwell as fullbacks. Let them provide the width. And then we've got the midfield and the strikers down the middle. But ultimately, I think with tomorrow, it's a case of stick with what's been working and then, if need be, change it up. I think with how we've been playing, more direct, more down the middle, rather than crossing into the box, I think quick and speedy is what we all need. That's why I've gone with Werner over a Giroud or a Tammy. And at the end of the day, I just hope, I think we will win. I really do. Like, I think we're still in the effects of a new manager bounce. If we do win, it'll be 10 out of 12 under Tuchel. And if we can keep that run going, we'll start climbing the table slowly but surely. And I do believe we can do it. Which now leads me into my play predictor. So I've gone for a 4-1 win. Bold, I know. But it was 4-1 back at the Bridge earlier in the season. I think Sheffield are there for the taking. They have been shocking this season. And yeah, I think with the players we've got, we can severely punish them. So yeah, 4-1 win. I've gone for Werner in the 17th minute. And more out of hope than anything. But also, if you say it often enough, it will happen. I've gone for 18 shots, 6 on target, 71% possession, and 8 corners. I'm also going to add in a little one of my own, and I reckon we'll have over 650 passes in the match. So yeah, as I said, let's actually go and beat them rather than beating Charity FC. And who knows, I might be sat here, not this time tomorrow because we play tomorrow, but I might be sat here tomorrow going, what a prediction. Or I might be sat here going, I'm a fucking idiot, what was I thinking? But either way, that is where I'm going to leave it. If you did enjoy it, please give me a share. It would mean the absolute world to me. Follow me on Twitter at CookCO4. That is COOKEC04. And until next time, guys, just remember, blue is the colour. Football is the game. Fuck Spurs. And I'll see you on the next one. Good. Bye.